You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
Are y'all ready for the word?
Yes.
Say this with me. I have but one life.
My life matters.
So today,
I will grow.
As Pastor Fred said, we're coming into the culmination of our summer conference series. And today's message title is Superhuman. Superhuman. I'm excited of all of the things that you guys have been engaged with in terms of our workshops. From the expression of the ignorant human. What you don't know will kill you. To the relational human, and those of you who had spent time with Pastor Tracy to understand that the key is that God created us for relationship. And because of sin, these relationships, they get counterfeited, they get corrupted. But as a child of God, you and I, we have the ability to have healthy relationships if we begin with a healthy relationship with God. We discussed being busy, Brother Chris, teaching us, you know, our issue is not just the aspect that we have a lot of things going on, but we struggle putting things in its proper place. And with God's help, because we can get busy, but with God's help, He can show us that as much as we have going on, it's all manageable. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Look at your neighbor and say, it's manageable. With God. All right. And then we went on in our conference series just to talk about a serious matter for us as being sexual humans. And then when you hear this word in church, everybody's like, But Pastor Fred brought us a word that really talked about not the issues that we deal with, but being able to manage the reality of our sexuality. Understanding by God's word how we are to be, how we are to conduct ourselves in every area of ourselves as humans as it pertains to our sexuality. All of the confusion that's going on in the world is because people have disconnected to the creator of sex. And Pastor Fred had just scratched the surface, and so we're going to continue in that conversation starting September 7th, right, sir? So y'all come with all the crazy questions because I ain't got to preach that. But we went on even to talk about the emotional human, because when you talk about the aspect of things being misappropriated in your relationships and in sex and things of that nature, it affects us emotionally. And we have to understand that even in terms of our emotions, they are things that it's been given to us by God, again, to manage properly. And then finally, money. All right. As with everything that we've talked about, if we don't originate from the creator of provision, how we are to live our lives according to the blessing that he's promised, if we don't connect with him, we are going to struggle when it comes to our finances. We're going to struggle. And not just our finances, but in every area of provision. And so all of these workshops that we've had were to help us to at least begin building a foundation in so much as what it is that God expects of us as human beings. And so I want to bring into a culmination, because here is our challenge. Our challenge is the way that we look at ourselves as humans is not the way that God sees us. Amen. That the way that we conduct ourselves as humans is not the way that God intended for us to behave as humans. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalm, chapter 8. I want to start here because I want to give you a glimpse of how God sees us. Let's go back, ladies, to verse 3 if we can. Because I want to put emphasis on the bigness of God and where we fit. Are y'all ready? You have it in your Bibles. If you don't, would y'all read with me on screen? You ready? On the count of three. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon. Here we go. Come on now. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? Mm-mm-mm. Verse 5, y'all. This is a beautiful thing here. Verse 5. Watch this. Come on. Come on. Thank you. For you made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. The emphasis in verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you visit him? Verse 5, again, you have made him a little lower than the angels. In some translations and in the original text, it says a little lower than Elohim, which means you made him a little lower than yourself, God. You made him a little lower than yourself, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Watch this. Verse 6 says, and you have made him to have dominion over the works of what? Your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. I have a problem. You have a problem. But we're going to address that problem because we're going to have to change the way that we see ourselves. As humans, as people, it is impossible to become something that you are incapable of becoming. Shall I say that again?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to say it again because those of you in the back, you may not be paying attention. You're mesmerized by the red jacket. Don't. It's red. Yes, is he wearing a red jacket? Yeah. It is impossible to become something you are incapable of becoming. Selah. And our problem is this. When it comes to our walk in faith, when it comes to the relationship with God and, quote, the expectations that God has for you in terms of how you conduct yourselves as a human, one of the biggest lies that the enemy tells us is that it's too hard to do what God asks you to do. And so we begin to take this first thing that I said, it is impossible for you to become something that you are incapable of becoming. The enemy causes us to believe we are incapable of being what God says that we are. Y'all not following me. God has just declared in his word, I've made you a little lower than me. Uh-oh. What is man that you are mindful of him? It's a facetious question. Who is he? He is a guy. He is a woman who is made a little lower than me. In terms of how to manage my entire creation. Somebody better get excited about that. See, our problem is we believe that we are incapable of becoming, but you're not incapable of becoming because you already are what God said that you are as a human being. With all of the things that he said that you are able to do, you are able to fully have dominion over every area that we have discussed in this workshop. Every area, you have more than enough ability and capability to have dominion over these areas of life that we've said, I can't do that. I can't control myself. I can't do right with my money. I can't find nobody to love me right. I can't. You have the ability to have full dominion over every area of your life because God created you that way. You are capable of actually doing it. Since Dion, you're gonna have to help me with my singing, but I want y'all to just, I have to take moments for y'all because we have allowed the enemy to convince us that what God requires of us and how we live, it's too hard. And in fact, we're really not able to do it. We're really not able to walk holy because we're only human. And God says, you are more than capable of walking holy.
For I am holy, and I made you just a little bit lower than me. You can't be God, but you can be just like God in how you conduct yourself. Be holy, for I am holy. We say we can't do it. And why do we say that we can't do it? Because we have entertained what the enemy has presented from day one. Did God really say? But we have read his word that clearly makes it known, human, you are more than able to do what I said that you were created to do. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you are fully capable of doing what God said you can do. At any time from this point on, as a child of God, when somebody tells you, I can't do something, you tell them the devil is a liar. You can do everything that God says that you can do. You can do everything that God says that you can do, because he created you to do it. He created you to have full authority. We're going to get into that in a minute. To operate in the dominion that he said that you're supposed to have over all the things that he created. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I didn't say some things. Y'all have to read it. I'll read it again. It's not here. It's over here in the Bible. Praise God for electronics, but the Bible is here. You have made him, watch this, you have made him to have. That I created you to have this. This is not a gift. This is, you're supposed to have this. You're supposed to operate in this. You're supposed to walk in it. When people see you, they're supposed to see a little me. Y'all better get excited. The scripture says you, meaning God, you have put a couple of things. See, if y'all reading your Bible, y'all have already corrected me. Verse 6, y'all. You have put a couple of things. You put some things, the real hard things, the hard things like relationships, you're going to struggle with that a little bit. Some of the things that you can't, your finances, because you grew up in a real bad environment and you didn't grow up with a silver spoon. So you don't have to worry about that part. Wait a minute. He said, God, he has put all things under his, who? Him, the God that he is mindful of, the human that he is mindful of. The human which he pays so close attention to. What is he doing? What is he doing that for? He's doing that to see if you finally get it, that everything that I created for you to have dominion over, and the word that I give you to help you to learn how to manage what it is that I've given you dominion over, I'm looking to see if you are actually becoming what it is that you already are, the way I see you. I don't see your culture. I don't see your background. Remember, when you got saved, the salvation means you died to all of that. You were born into a new life. So all of that stuff, although there's residue that's there, God doesn't see that. He sees you the way he created you. He doesn't remember, as far as the east is from the west, the sin and which is missing the mark, which is, I created you this way, but you're missing it, that because of Jesus and his blood, all of that gets eradicated and you have a brand new life. Do over. And you get to do it, you get to do over with no turning back. You get to do it over with when everybody and everything, even the things around you, remind you, you don't have and you don't got. You can remind it, but God said, come on, y'all. But God said, look, either God is who he is to you or he's not. He is God or he doesn't exist. Either he is or he isn't. And if he isn't, then you aren't. Thank you, sister. Say that again.
Yes, I am.
Why? Because he is. We're going to get into that a little bit more, too. I'm trying to get y'all excited. Y'all making me work. I'm going to take this thing off. It's distracting. What does all of this really mean? Proverbs 23:7, y'all listen to this in the workshop. It says this, for as he, meaning a man, thinks in his heart, so is he. So we have to contend with, we have to battle with this thought that I am not able, first of all, to do what it is that God created me to do. We have to settle that, first of all, that in fact I am fully able, I'm fully capable, I have all the wherewithal within me to get done what God wants me to do. What is it that God wants you to do? He wants you to live life and that life more abundantly. That's what God wants. That's why he came. That's what he said. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What? Your thought process about who you are. Your thought process about who he is. First thing that he says to Eve, did God really say? His contention is with God's word. And if you have contention with God's word, you're going to have problems. Because you're going to try to live a life that you're not capable of living. Pastor, what you talking about? We're gonna flip it for a minute. Because of sin, we're caused to live a life that we're not really built to live. We're not built to live with depression. We're not built to live with unforgiveness. We're not made to live with resentment. We're not made to live in poverty. We're not made to operate in these things that stress us out and bring us to places where we're not made to live by ourselves. We're not made to live unfriendly. We're not made to be selfish. We're not created. You have to work at being selfish, which means you have to convince yourself that people are worth not paying attention to and not loving. But you in your heart, you know, hey, I need love too. Hello. So it takes a lot of work to walk in unforgiveness. It takes a lot of work to be angry with someone. And to hold things that are not of God. It takes work. And that work, you're not created to be that way and do that. So your entire existence, your body, your mind, your soul, it begins to respond and react, and you start getting sick, and you start getting headaches. You start, every day is a heavy burden. Why? Because your heart is carrying something it was never made to carry. It's not made to carry those things. It was made to carry God's word. And what God's word is life. It uplifts, it strengthens, it causes you to be super. All right, don't pay attention to the belly. My wife feeds me well. But you are called to reveal the thing that is in your heart. And what's in your heart is based upon what you're thinking. And what you're thinking should be what he thinks about you. But if you're not doing that, then your thinking is off. And it's causing every area of your life to be off. And we know this. We see this in the workings of people's lives every day. How they conduct themselves and how they interact with people without God, it's a struggle. They're not cool to be around because, in fact, we as human beings, we know how we should be towards each other. We should be friendly. We should be loving. We should be able to talk to everyone. But we have all of these hang-ups about what we think. And as we think, so we are. So let me make a quick plug in regards to all of this stuff that's going on between police officers and things of that nature. The problem is we're allowing the enemy to cause us to think back in the day that we have issues in regards to our color, and that's not the issue. The issue is our conduct with us as human beings. If that man doesn't have a badge on, he's still a man. If that young man, even if he's doing wrong, he's still a young man. He's a human being that needs direction, guidance, love, all of those things, but we don't conduct ourselves that way. And so we have all of these things that cause us to be divided. And church, we're going to have to pray because people want to make it a color issue, and it's not a color issue. We have racism going on, but the real issue is sin. I wish y'all would hear what I'm saying to you. Because we're not going to solve this problem ourselves on our wisdom. We're going to need God's mind on the matter. I want you to understand that this whole issue of dominion that we have, that God created us to have in every area of our lives, and to begin to exercise and to conduct it in these things, these areas that we have challenges. How many of y'all know we have challenges? It's great to hear that I have dominion, but I got problems, Pastor, right now. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I got some stuff going on right now. Can you help me right now? My answer to you is no. I can't help you, but I know somebody who can. As Pastor Fred said, this is the news. This is the highlight. Hey, this is the good news. The good news is that God can help you. In fact, God has already helped you. The moment that you were, Lord, help me. The moment that he thought about you, he had already established you. He said in Jeremiah, I knew you, what? Before you were formed in your mama's womb. So while we think life starts at conception, God says life starts in me. So if you are here, you are a God thought before you are a body thought. Which means, watch this, okay? I'm on fire right now. Which means, watch this, before you were a person, you heard this before, you had a purpose, because God doesn't make mistakes. This is where I need my musicians. We need to have a party going on in here right now, but it's all good. You and I, our thought about ourselves, it has to start with what God thinks about us, because that's where we originated from even before we were formed. That when God thought about you, he thought about a purpose to be fulfilled, a place on planet Earth that needed someone to govern and to steward in authority until Jesus comes. Well, y'all better think about that for just a second. Before I was a person, I was a purpose. See, this deep. Because right now all we know is what we know about what we know now. And that knowing now has been confused and has been counterfeited with a lot of information, a lot of word from the enemy, a lot of word from people, and we've come to many conclusions about who we are based upon our now as a person. Hello. But God says, but if you're gonna be in me. If you're going to have a relationship with me, you're going to have to be where I am in understanding who you are. You're going to have to start from the beginning. Yes. And your beginning wasn't when you were formed in your mama's womb, however that happened. In wedlock, out of wedlock, that doesn't move God. If he formulated you, he already had a purpose for you.
Yes.
Mm. So what you and I are doing when we get saved and we're born again, our whole premise is to get into God's word to understand the issue of my life is about what God would have me to do in dominion here so that people see him. I got issues, but God is bigger than my issues. I got things going on, but I understand that came in the aspect of my living the human life. With limited knowledge, because all I knew was the human side.
Yeah, yeah.
But now that I have Christ, I'm able to go beyond. I love this word, Pastor Fred, transcend.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's like when you say that word, you can almost float, but I'm not gonna float. I would fall. I'm able to transcend. It gives that implication that I'm able to go beyond. I'm super. Right? I'm able to. Then let me give you the definition of super. We hear that word, we kind of think we know what it means, but here's the definition of super. It means above, over, and beyond. It means excellent. It means greater than. It means having greater influence, greater capacity. Higher, you are of a higher classification now. You, I'm only human. No, you are human, but you are a higher class of human. Here's my word. Don't ask me to spell it. You are of a greater pedigree. I hope you're encouraged, because I'm not just saying this to get you hype. I'm telling you what God has established for us. And we got to start changing our thinking so that when we deal with all of the things we talked about in our workshop, from the aspect of our relationships and our emotions and all that, I can't limit myself just to my flesh and my nature here now. I know the challenges that come, but I can transcend that because God has created me to operate on a higher plane of living here. See, what happens in church a lot is we start getting so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. And what God is saying is, but I want you heavenly minded so that you will be fully, fully able to deal with earth and earthly matters, because I have given you dominion over earthly matters. I didn't put you over heavenly matters. We're trying to get to heaven. Heaven is guaranteed for you when you say yes to Jesus. But you are, and I, we're still here. And we're struggling to try to deal with here. And God says, why are you struggling? I created you to have dominion over these things now. And as long as you stay connected to me, you will transcend those issues, because there's a purpose that I have for you going through what you might be going through right now. Did y'all hear what I said? There's a purpose for you. And because of that purpose, you are allowed to go through some of the things that you're going through, so that you may transcend and operate as a higher classification of human. When people see you and they expect for you to act a fool and curse everybody out, you don't do that, not because you're trying to be good, but because I'm better than that. I'm bigger than that. I'm human, but I'm super human. I'm a more excellent human. I'm a higher classification of human. I'm going to walk around talking to people. I'm a higher classification of human than you are. That's dumb. Don't do that. Don't talk it, walk it. See, because other humans that God created, they'll begin to see the difference. You don't got to tell nobody that you're superhuman. Just be, listen. The whole idea about a superhero and the whole premise of the superhero is not the outfit that he's wearing, but the actions that he's doing. Hello? It's not the outfit that he's wearing, but it's the actions that he's doing that cause you to recognize that's a hero. That's a superhero. He's doing more than what an average person would do. And what God is saying is that while the imaginations of creators of these characters are saying, hey, this is what a superhero looked like, God says, but I've already made a whole lot of superheroes. I've already established a whole bunch of superheroes. And according to the word, he's created all these works. And he says, and I have made man to have dominion over the works of my hands. You and I, we can't be average if we're going to begin to conduct ourselves in the capacity that God has created us to do. We're going to have to find ourselves back in him. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 clearly states that after God has done all of this creation, he stops, if you will, and he says, now, no, stop it. The scripture doesn't say now. It just says, let us, the triunity of God, make man in our image and in our likeness, and let him have, and again, it's a reiteration of what's here in Psalms, over all of the things that I have created. And he speaks to them, and he creates man. It says male and female, he created them. And then we know, if you go further in the reading, then he forms a body, a human. But he's already spoken into existence man in spirit, male and female in spirit, before he puts a body together. He gives them purpose before he gives them person. Yes. You read it. And God has not stopped or discontinued that process because of sin. He hadn't stopped it. How do we know this? Because what he, in the realization of his word standing and having given a human being dominion on earth, in order for us to have been restored, it would have to take a human being to cause restoration. Well, the enemy knew that, well, as long as men and women are being born, they are being perpetually born, as Pastor Fred said, into this, quote, sexually transmitted disease called sin. So there's just going to be this perpetual sin in a man's life that will cause him to have to think and question what I created him to be. So I'm going to have to become. Y'all not following me. I'm going to have to become one of them to reconnect them to me. And the enemy didn't know that God could do that. But with man, things are impossible. With God, all things are. So the enemy wasn't thinking, there's no way God is going to come down in the flesh. He's not going to do that because he's already established how men are supposed to do. But God is smarter than the enemy, y'all. So look, when you're dealing with your situation and circumstances, please understand, God is smarter than the enemy and what the enemy has set up. God can see things that you and I, we can't see. He's devised things. And I'm humanizing God because, you know what? God is not stressing about anything. Say, I got a few amens about you. And God is not worried about whether or not you're going to make it or not. His concern is, and his mindfulness about you is that, will you come to the realization that you're going to make it? Will you come to the realization of what I already know about you? Will you come to, and what is that? It's called faith. The substance of things hoped for. I'm hoping things get better. Anybody hoping things get better? Okay, wait, let me see your hands. I'm hoping things get better in my marriage, in my money, in my living, in my job. I'm hoping things get, well, God says, that's great. That's great that you have hope. But please understand that hope has got to be connected to me. And if it's connected to me, you then are operating in faith because you can't see what I'm doing. You can't see what I'm doing. You can't see what I've already done. But it's done. All right, so let me not lose my thought. So he sends Jesus, who is, now watch this. I want y'all to understand this because he is our model of how we are to live our lives and conduct ourselves now in a relationship with God. He is our model. He is God. He is very God, and he is very man. He is 100% God and 100% man. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11 teaches us, let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Because some of y'all been reading your Bibles. If y'all don't know that, go back to the scripture and read it. Let this mind be in you, who? Those of us that God created, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but, watch this, but made himself of no reputation and came in the form and the comeliness of man. He made a decision that I'm going to not put aside, not set aside my divinity, but what I'm going to do is all of the authority that comes with me being God, I set that aside so that I can operate in the full authority that God established for a man. So he was 100% God here, not operating in God authority, but man authority. Oh, y'all not hearing what I'm saying? See, the issue is that we think that, well, Jesus was God, so that's why all these things happen. No, he set the God authority, the God authority aside and said, I'm going to operate fully connected to my Father, but I'm going to do this thing like a man without sin is supposed to do this. Wow. 100% God didn't put it away, but he took the authority that came with being God and said, I'm going to set that aside and work, operate. I'm going, because I need these people to see this can be done. Yeah. 100% man fully operating in the authority that God the Father gave man. Remember what he said to Pilate. You would have what? No, you would have no authority over me except for that which God has given you. That's why I'm standing here in underneath and subject to you right now. It's only because the Father established it. If I was operating in my God authority, a whole bunch of angels would show up and you would be having a problem right now, bro. Book of John, you guys read it. I want you to understand. Okay, so I'm going to hit my 3 points and then I'm going to be out. Y'all believe me, your pastor don't lie to you. I'm gonna get you 3 points and then I'm gonna be out. But are y'all with me right now in terms of how you need to begin to see yourselves in the model that was set through Jesus Christ? That being 100% a human, he operated in the full authority as a man that God gave man. That's why he was able to do things that seemed impossible, seemed out of the ordinary, but those were normal, regular things that men should be able to do. Now, it seems really odd and it seems really weird. And it seems like, well, that was a Jesus thing. That was a Jesus thing. But Jesus said, but the things that you see me do, you will do in what? But our problem is we're not letting our mind, the mind that Christ had, be in us. We're letting other minds. I mean, myself included. Look, what is the battle? The battle is for what you are thinking about. And how you are thinking is what conducts who you are, as the scripture says in Proverbs. And what the Lord is, he's adamant on for us, why we gather here, the words that are spoken to you, is so that you would ponder. He says, come, let us reason together. In other words, think about what it is that I'm saying, because I'm God, I'm right. So there's no argument there. I'm God, I'm right. But I want you to understand that in order for you to line up with what I'm saying, what that means is that you become righteous along with me. Because your thinking now has changed and your conduct will follow what you think. And when your conduct follows what you think, you become what you think you are.
Yeah.
What am I becoming? What God already said that you were? What do I do? Everything that God says that you are capable of doing? How do I do that? Well, you got to spend time with him because you are battling with thoughts. That's why scripture in 1 Corinthians say you have to bring every what? Thought into captivity. Why? Because you're battling. It's a battle. Like circumstances are telling you that's not going to work. You can't pay for that. You can't have that. And God is saying that there are things that I have for you in purpose. Don't deal with your person. Deal with your purpose. All right, first point, we're going to land. Pastor Fred said, he expressed in terms of us being human, it was a miracle that we were human. It's a miracle, and it is a miracle. It's a miracle, the fact that we are here, that God, in what we know now in terms of creating us with a purpose to get something done on planet Earth until Jesus comes or until he calls us home, that's a miracle. And too many of us are wasting our gifts and our talents, and we're wasting time. It's frustrating, I know, because God is watching you, and you're frustrated with life, and you don't want to be here anymore. You don't want to, then God is saying, I didn't create you. It hurts his heart that your heart hurts because you're not really engaged in life the way you feel like you should be. All right, y'all not hearing what I'm saying? It hurts God's heart to see you frustrated with life when he gave you life to live abundantly. And the problem is, he understands that your thinking is off about him, about you, about what you're doing, about how it's getting done. And he understands that the reason why you're going through all of this is because you don't have enough of me in you. Not enough of me in you. You're not spending enough time around me. You're not spending enough time around people who are just like you. People whose capability is above human, superhuman. You're not spending enough time. In fact, the enemy has got you confused that dumb church people, you don't want to be around them because they're dirty and they're mean and they have all of these things. And here's the beauty of it. The beauty of it is you just like them. I'm sorry. And we get lazy and we get discontent with people, but the issue is that God created us for fellowship. Why? Because the issue is that we should be iron sharpens iron.
Yes.
Now, the question is, what stone are you rubbing yourself up against? Dr. Fred, I'm going to send this to you. Send it back. You ready? All right, back to the word. He said that we're a miracle. So with that miracle, we talk about being superhuman. Please understand this. Get this in your mind. You have been mandated to live an abundant life. Mandated. What does that mean? It means you don't have a choice if you're going to connect with God, that the things that are not lining up with God, that's frustrating you, it's only there to help you to get closer to Him. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how crazy it is. I don't care what the circumstance is. It's to cause you to begin to consider, what am I doing? How am I thinking? And is this the way God wants me to think? And if it's not the way He wants me to think, I've got to change my thinking, which will change my behavior. If I don't get what God's thought is on the matter, I'm going to think on my own, and my own thinking is flawed. My own thinking is common thinking. My own reasoning is reasonable to what? To what's in my heart and what I feel. And God says, I don't need you to go by what's in your heart. I want you to put my word in your heart. I want you to put my thought in your mind, so that when you start contending with your common humanness, with your superhumanness, you will supersede the common with the super. How do I know that that's the struggle? Romans 7, Paul, verse 14. Let me read it. Can I read it? Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law, and that word law means God's word or His instruction, is spiritual, and I am carnal, sold under sin. And he goes on to talk about the struggle, that when I want to do what I know to do, I don't do it. I do the things that I don't want to do. That's what I find myself doing. And y'all know the battle that he says that brings him to this statement. Whoa, what a horrible person. Woe unto me. What a horrible person that I am. But Romans chapter 8 says, what? No, it doesn't say that. Not yet. he said, but now, it's a continued thought. But now, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are what? In Christ Jesus. Who do what? Who walk after the things of the Spirit and not after the things of the... But he's not talking about just the walk, though, because the walk is the preceding action after the thought. So if I start thinking God thought, then I'm going to start walking. I'm trying, man. So I'm mandated to do this. I was called out of God. So despite the fall and despite the sin, we've been given. God is not revoking how He created you. It's sin blocking you. Get rid of the sin so that you can walk in the full capacity that God created you to do. You have the ability to operate in this duality called human life. God is not saying you're going to do one without the other. He's saying as you are processing this duality, just reason, is what I'm saying lining up with your humanness? If it's not, then deal with what I'm saying. If it is, then have dominion. So I can be 100% how God sees me and 100% how you see me. The real me, in both natures. So I don't have to fit your image of what a pastor is supposed to be. If you don't understand according to the word what that's supposed to be, that's not my problem. Because I'm not called to just be so super spiritual and so uptight and so whatever that I can't have fun. I like chicken. I like fast cars. I like basketball. If any of those things begin to supersede what it is that God wants me to do, then the human aspect has to be set aside so that I do what God... Because I'm not here for me. I'm here to fulfill the purpose. Am I boring you? Are you bored? All right, second point, because I can feel Miss Tracy's vibe. Honey, it's good, honey, but keep moving. Second point, Pastor Fred said that being human, it's a movement. We are not here to stand still and not do, but we are to be conducting ourselves. And what I'm saying is our conduct has to originate from, again, a God thought. Y'all with me? Are y'all with me? Yes. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, in the New Living Translations. Can y'all bring that up? Why y'all bring it up? I'm going to read it. A New Living Translation of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this: "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." I mean, it's been right there. I mean, we've read this. Is it up there? Praise God. We are God. So not only are we a movement, but we are a masterpiece. Do y'all know what a masterpiece is? It's like if the artist has been working on stuff and it don't get any better than this. That's what he says about us. When he thought about you and he thought about what you would do, he said, "It ain't gonna get any better than that." Man, when he was thinking about you before he formed you, he said, "There's nothing that's gonna be anything like you anywhere. I can't do any better than that. I can't do anything." But when I thought about you and what you were going to do, there was nothing and nobody that, you know. So let me dispel this lie, y'all. That when God creates you and makes you and forms you and you're birthed, and for whatever reason you're taken before your time, some people have preached from pulpits to say, "Well, God will just replace you with somebody else." No, he won't. We've limited God and his purpose to the things that we do in the church. And so somebody can just come in and do what you do. He ain't talking about that. Y'all have to understand, God's purpose for you goes into legacy. It's something that perpetuates through generations. It's not just the stuff that we doing nice to people, feeding people. Well, if you don't feed the people, then I'm going to find somebody else to feed the people. Yeah, that's nice. You can, people who don't know God feed people. We ain't talking about that. That's what I'm saying. We got to change our thinking that when we were here, we ain't got time to be wasting. Because what we do in purpose, it's about legacy. It's about what am I passing down to my kids, and when I'm seeing them act out of themselves, what can I give them? Because I've got to perpetuate this before I'm taken home.
Yes.
You are a masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus. Did y'all catch that?
Yes.
Not apart from him, but in him. To do what? To do the work, the good things that who planned? Long ago. How long ago? Who knows? Who knows when God thought about you a purpose? I don't know. But whenever he thought about it, here you are now. Here you is. Pinch your neighbor. Just pinch him. Just give him a little pinch right now. Just here you are. If they pinch you real hard, just say, "I love you." Let me read this out of the Amplified, and I'm coming for a landing. "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, he planned beforehand for us, taking path which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life," which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Are y'all alive here? I mean, I didn't hear nothing negative at all about what God had preordained for us even before he formed us. A good life. A path. You know, there's a path. Anybody ever been in the woods? I'm coming from land. Anybody ever been in the woods? I mean, in the woods, for real. Like, when it gets dark, you can't even see your hand in front of you woods. Not a good and comfortable feeling. Especially if you've never really experienced that and certain noises start happening. Things start rustling and moving around you. And you start thinking, whatever that is, I can't see it, but it might be able to see me, that feeling. Okay, don't get caught up on that. My point is this, in the woods, there are no paths. And I walk in darkness, I walk in sin, it's just like the woods. We're walking around and we're trying to create pathways and we're trying to create things. That, we're trying to make sense of this chaos. And God says, whoa, wait a minute. Let me turn on the light. And then you realize there's this path. It is right there in front of you. And it's been there all the time. But you couldn't see it. And he says, now walk in it. And you know what we do? I can't. God, I can't do it. And sometimes, this is Pastor Rich now, sometimes I feel like the Lord says, I'm not calling you stupid, but that's stupid. That's Pastor Rich, y'all. Okay, now we're going to get off of that and I'm going to land. Y'all ready for me to land? Yeah. Miss Tracy, the only one said yeah. Acts chapter 17, 28. In him we live and move. Did y'all catch? In him we live, move. How do we know? Because in this reading in Ephesians, there's a pathway that he's created for us, we being his workmanship. There's a purpose and a job that he has for us, and he's caused us to say, here's the path, walk in the path, walk in it, do it, do good works, and life will be good. Life will be good. In him we live, we move, and have our being. Some translations say our existence. So if we're not in him, although we're here, we don't exist. Although you're here, if you're outside of Christ, although you're here, you don't have an existence. Deeper, you don't have a purpose. And when I say you don't, you do have a purpose because God created you, but because you're outside of him, you have no way of really understanding what you are to do. How are you to behave? And how are you to conduct yourselves as it pertains to other people? You have no idea. So you're in the woods. And if you've been in the woods, it's painful. It's scary. And here's the comedy of it. At different times, you run into somebody and you're reaching around and you grab that hand and now you're both walking and you're lost together. And you're getting upset with them. No, go this way. No, go this way. No, this is how a man is supposed to be. No, this is how a woman is supposed to be. Well, I don't want to be with you. And now you lost again. Y'all didn't catch that. But I'm saying, you know, don't get into relationships with somebody who's walking in the dark. Because they don't know where they're going either. And eventually you're going to be separate from them because y'all both getting hurt together. Oh, I'm preaching good right now. All right, I'm sorry. All right, that's out. Sorry. I'm just saying. We need God. We need the Lord. We need him. Last point. We are ministers. We're ministers, servants of the Lord. Servants of the Lord. Don't super spiritualize what I'm saying. As a servant, as one who is here in the service of God, I'm here to facilitate what he wants me to be. The being that he called me to be, human, superhuman on planet Earth. I'm here to serve his purpose, his plan for my life here on the planet. The scripture in Isaiah speaks of this, that they that what? Wait on the Lord. That's not, now we use the scripture a lot of times, like we pray and nothing's happening, so we just waiting on him. That's not what it means. It translates that waiting is the service. It's this God, you have sat down before me. What, how can I serve you? What should I do? What's next? If there's a next for me, what now? As I'm contending with these challenges, what do you say? We're taking his order. in regards to the right now that I may be contending with my family, with my finances. And you know, how many of you ever run into a waiter that gets impatient with you? Don't, as Miss Tracy's like, no tip. You see, Miss Tracy, I hear you talking, but you don't be doing that. That's what makes me mad. People give us bad service, and she's like, well, here. You know, like, don't give him no money. But that's the God in her. That's the superhuman in her, because that's what God does with us. We give him bad service sometimes. We get impatient with him. God, would you just hurry up and tell me what you want so I can go and do it and bring it back? Because I don't want to even be here. Oh, y'all not hearing what I'm saying. Ouch. Just say ouch. Because we do that, every one of us, one time or another. We're impatient. Wait upon the Lord. Would you hurry up? God is like, I don't know if I want soup. I want salad. This is what we do. And then we wait on, we want the tip. Because we served out of obligation instead of out of purpose. In our mind's eye, in the natural, the servant, you know, the person who's serving, well, I ain't going to be here all day. I'm going to become a movie star. So I'm just facilitating this until I become a star. But, bro, right now, you are a waiter. So whatever you do, Colossians 3:3. Whatever you do, do it what? To the glory of God, right? I mean, in other words, make what you're doing look the best that you possibly can. So wherever you are in life right now and whatever you're doing, stop sitting there waiting. Well, I'm not going to be here forever. God knows you ain't going to be here forever. But while you are there, but look, we're waiting on a big thing from God. I'm waiting for you to launch me. I'm waiting for thousands. This is me. I'm waiting for thousands to show up. And he's like, and I'm like, yeah, okay. Waiting on it to happen. Super solid. Got to change your thinking. Who are you? I'm a servant. What are you doing right now? I'm serving you, Lord. But with the 120, 130, whoever shows up, give it to them just like you would give it to them if it was 5,000. Give it to them if there was 10,000, 100,000. Bro, you might not be ready for 100,000 yet. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready. Got a glimpse, a little taste of that in Nigeria. It was a little intimidating being in front of 30,000 people. So I'm good with y'all. I'm good with y'all right now. And wherever it is that you are, wherever you are, as Paul said, you know, the aspect of I have learned to abase and to abide. I've learned to be content in my present situation because I recognize it ain't always going to be this way. But because God has a purpose for me, this person may not be comfortable with this, but I'm good right here. I'm good right here, right now. What is it that you need while I'm right here, God? What is it that you need? I ain't staying here. I know that. But while I'm here, I'm going to be the best here. I'm going to be this, because I'm going to have dominion. If I'm cleaning bathrooms, I'm going to have dominion here. Until I'm running things, even though I may not have the title, I'm going to have the function. They're going to know when I leave this place, because I'm not going to be here all the time. But when I leave this place, they're going to not want me to leave. They're going to, please stay here. I will pay you. I'll pay you the CEOs. I will give you the money. Just don't leave. Whatever it is that you're doing. Whatever the teachers that you, the instructors, I don't know what it is that you're doing, but I'm asking you to be super at it. Be a super employee. Be a super owner. Be a super student. Be super. And let God do what it is that he needs to do to show you the further purpose that he created you to operate in. I don't want to hype you up. I just want you to know that your reality is not the way that you have been thinking in times past.
Yes.
God wants you to think and have his thought about everything pertaining to your life.
Yes.
And anytime you are in the company of difficult people, difficult challenges, just do what I do. And make sure you, ladies, make sure you do this with a lot of discretion, but with a jacket. Anytime you run into hard situations and circumstances, find a jacket, put it on, button it up, and just say, this looks like a job for. That's why I say, ladies, be discreet, you know. Look, if you can't laugh in church, I don't know what you... But I'm saying, you change your mind. And start thinking the way God thinks. He is not moved by the circumstance. It's there to help you to facilitate the purpose. Wonder Woman spin around. Yeah, ladies, y'all can do that. Okay, stop. God is good, amen. God is good, amen. I want to give you an opportunity. We ran a little bit behind, but this is still our workshop time. I want to take just 10 minutes to, if you have any questions or any questions pertaining to what we just talked about, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Can we just bring a couple of mics up this way? I want to give you an opportunity. You have thoughts. A lot of times we come into church and it's a good word and we enjoyed it. But we have questions. We have, how do we, come on, Pastor Fred, don't be handing the mic. You come on up here and somebody get him a mic. Awesome. Any questions or comments or thoughts about what we talked about before we close? This always happens. Yes. Yes. Yes, Miss Brenda.
I have a comment.
You have? See, I knew that was going to happen. Yes, ma'am. Come on.
I am so blessed to hear the message today.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been going through a storm, and I've been trusting God through it. And, you know, no matter what the circumstances are, we just have to know that God has our best interests.
Mm-hmm.
We have to trust him that he knows what's best for us, regardless of how things look, regardless of how things may look. He has the final say. So we just have to, you know, take that little jacket, put it on and say.
Looks like a job for.
Yeah, looks like a job for me, but I'm going to be able to make it through because God is with me. And that's who matters.
The scripture teaches us, we know that in the Bible, Jesus gives an instruction to his disciples. He just finished ministering to a whole bunch of people. He's on the shores of Galilee and he says, get in the boat and let us go to. And then in the midst of about midway, a storm strikes and they're full of fear. And as they are crying out and they are saying, we're going to die. Although the Lord's instruction was, we're going to the other side. They begin to think and to speak something contrary to what he said. Now, we know the story. Jesus is walking on the water in the midst of the storm. If they hadn't said anything to him, crying out to him, hey, it's a ghost, and the Lord, if he didn't respond, he would have gone to the other side. And watch this. Even with all of their doubt and all of their fear, they would have made it to the other side too. So we understand that there are times when we go through certain things And I believe that that story was given to us to show us that even in the midst of his instruction and his expectation for us not to fear, fear is going to be there. The challenges are going to be there, and the challenges are going to be serious. It's going to feel like I'm going to die. And it causes us to draw closer to him. What did Peter say? Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And there are some times where the Lord is bidding you, get a little closer to me. Does that make sense? Because even though the instruction is go to the other side, and he was well on his way, there are times where it's like, Lord, I need you. And that's okay. Is it okay? It's okay. Amen. Thank you, sister. Anybody else? That's great.
I have a question. In the whole superhuman narrative, the storyline, every superhuman has kryptonite.
Yeah.
The scripture says flee youthful lust, but kryptonite, you know, do you ever find in yours, you know, well, maybe I can deal with this kryptonite and trying to deal with it. What do you do with your kryptonite? How do you deal with
it? Let's call it what it is. Kryptonite for us is sin. And the overall sin that God, Christ died for has been dealt with. But we individually, we have things that we allow to become God for us. And all of it is selfishly motivated. So when I deal with my personal sin, my personal thing that I place before the Lord is what he gives me the word to contend with. So how do you deal with it? Be honest with yourself as to what it is that you are placing before God. Be it your attitude, be it, you know, the hurt and pain, things that you experience in times. Whatever it is, let's keep it real with God, because he already knows. He also already knows that sometimes you just don't want to be bothered. You remember what I said? Hurry up, Lord. Super salad. Sometimes I don't even want to go out there to serve him. Man, did that pastor just say that? Yes, I just said that. Sometimes y'all get on my nerves. I'm sorry. So you asked the question, right? But what happens then is not my will, but how do I know I need to do that? Because that's what Jesus did. I mean, if you still think about the pressure of carrying the weight of every one of our sins on you. And more importantly, it wasn't even so much the sin. It was that he was going to be disconnected with his Father. It's like, I don't know if I can deal with that. Let them be disconnected, Lord. That's really what he would. They're already disconnected. They're already on their way. Well, is there any other way we can do this? Because I don't want to be disconnected with you, but not my will. 100% human in his response. Because any one of us, we're going to be like, you know what, y'all? But that's not what he, because we are to be like him. So whatever it is that you're dealing with, I mean, you got to keep it real with yourself. But then you've got to default to that. I come in here, you know what? It ain't about me. Because I don't know, there might be a single person that needed to hear something that God wanted them to hear through me. And if I'm not here to deliver it, who knows what that person will do? And I have to stand before the Lord and give an account for that soul. Because I didn't want to get up that morning because y'all get on my nerves. Like some of y'all do. I'm gonna keep it real with y'all. Y'all can be mad at me if you want. We got to change our thinking. Because the same dynamic of assignment when it comes to people that I have, you have the same assignment. Different level, different operation, different people, same assignment. So you got to get all that you need to get. So that you can deal with the people that sometimes you don't want to deal with. I have organized chaos. All right, next question. Next one. Y'all, that went way over your head. Y'all can walk away from your situation. I'm here. My Lord. They didn't get it, man. I know, right? Okay, next question. Come on, y'all. This is good. Got about 4 minutes left.
No comment? Comments? Thoughts about the message? Okay, got comments.
Hey, man, I'd just like to thank God for being here. Thank God for Life Community Church. I came here years ago as an invitation to a friend who's no longer with you guys, but I thank God for being here because what we have been going through, what we have been dealing with, and all the subjects that have gone forth has been a blessing. I do understand that we are not just going through, we are all being trained, and God is up to something. He really is. And this training that we're receiving, the harvest is there. The labor is a few. That's what the Bible says. And so with that, the Bible says, with all that getting, get an understanding, this is spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. And the Bible tells us also to gird up our loins. So all this information that we're getting, you need to gird it up, get it together. In other words, to apply it, because we're not just going through for ourselves. We're being trained to help others. So I thank God for that, because it is true. Sometimes it hurts. You know, you get all you can and you can all you can get.
Right.
So that you can apply that and be able to inspire people. We are going through to inspire people to stay in the game so that they won't check out, so that they won't give up, so that they can go on, so we can go through. But the pastor gave us something months and months ago. You got to go in. And this is just not surface stuff. This is in depth.
Yeah.
This is taking us to a different level if you want to go there. So I thank God for that. Amen. So keep doing what you're doing.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215. Or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.